Hello and welcome again after Christmas. Still in the Christmas octave though, and of course the Christmas season lasts until the Feast of the Epiphany. The reflection, the homily today is in two parts. First of all, I want to talk about indulgences, which may be an unusual thing to talk about at this particular time on this feast of the Holy Family, but I want to come to the Holy Family later on. But why do I speak about indulgences first? Well, on the last day of the year, which happens this year to be Sunday, the 31st of December, also the Feast of the Holy Family, the Church offers a plenary indulgence. Now, a plenary indulgence is something that I want to talk about, but indulgences in general, and then I'll come to the conditions by which a person can gain this plenary indulgence on the last day of the year. Well, to understand indulgences, we have to cast our vision 33 years after the birth of our Saviour, which we are focusing on at this particular time of the year. And our eyes go to Jesus as he hung upon the cross, dead upon the cross. And when the centurion opened his side with a lance, from that open wound in his side, there flowed out blood and water. The Church has always understood that this is the wellspring of the sacraments and the ocean of mercy that opened up for the whole world. To the Church, Christ has entrusted the safeguarding of this enormous treasure of mercy and grace. As we hear most clearly from himself in his own words and actions after the resurrection. Our participation in the sacrifice that is Holy Mass and the other sacraments are not enriched with any indulgences because they outstrip any other activity as regards their efficacy to make us holy and to purify the effects of our sins that have been forgiven. There are some sacramental occasions like First Holy Communion, the first Mass of a newly ordained priest, a Mass that closes a Eucharistic Congress, for example, that do attract indulgences because they are so special. In order to unlock and keep open these floodgates of divine mercy, the Church, as a good mother and teacher, attaches indulgences to various private and public devotions so that Christ's faithful people may pray more readily and without ceasing, as well as they might live holier lives. So, what is an indulgence? I find a lot of Catholics are ignorant of this, so let me explain. An indulgence is the remission in the eyes of God of the temporal, that means a length of time, a remission of the temporal punishment due to sins, whose culpable element has already been taken away in the sacrament of confession. Now, the spiritual wound of sin can be compared to physical wounds. A physical wound needs to be attended to, sanitized, cleansed, fixed up and dressed. But it's not immediately healed. The healing takes time. So too with sin. The spiritual wound that sin is attended to in confession and forgiven. But the spiritual effects and the duty we owe to God to make up for sin remains and takes time. And it takes the doing of good, primarily that of prayer. So indulgences may be plenary, which means a complete or full remittance of what is owed to God's justice for sins already sacramentally forgiven, or it may be partial, meaning that it advances a soul in the pathway of repentance and reparation. Neither plenary nor partial should be discounted or denigrated. They are effective spiritual aids on our pathway to heaven. So the conditions for gaining the plenary indulgence on the last day of the year are these. The indulgenced act is the public recitation of the Te Deum, the great prayer of thanksgiving to God. And I'm sure you could find that easily in any prayer book or on any Catholic website. It has to be public, which means it is said usually in the church, but if you don't get to do that because of what happens in your parish, then you could say it semi-publicly with your family in your home. Or if you're gathering some of your friends with you for a New Year's Eve celebration and they're Catholic, so you could say the Te Deum with them, and that would be a public recitation because it involves more than just who belong to your domestic family. The other conditions are that the reception of Holy Communion must happen on the same day, and that's fairly easy, isn't it? You're going to Mass, you're going to receive Holy Communion. You have to pray a prayer for the holy intentions of the Pope. Usually that's an Our Father or Hail Mary, or could be another prayer for the Pope. You must go to sacramental confession on the same day. Now that might be difficult, so the Church makes it easy, saying that if you've been to confession 21 days before New Year's Eve or 21 days after, that is okay. And then you must have a detachment from sin, which means that you must have a desire or an act of the will that says, I don't like my past sins. I don't like the sins that I have committed. So I detach myself from them. So those are the conditions. Now, if you can't meet any of those conditions, well, an indulgence is still gained, but it's partial and still worth gaining, and it's still worth saying the great prayer of thanks to God at the end of the year for all the benefits and all the graces and all the gifts that he has given you. So now let us turn towards the Holy Family. Why did Jesus choose to be born a baby, like all of us, with a human mother and father, and spend all but his last years living in an ordinary family? Well, in part, it was to sanctify, to make holy, and to elevate, to lift it above its natural character, to sanctify and elevate the family. It was also to reveal God's plan, not only to make man and woman in his own image, but to stamp his approval on the procreation and education of children in the context of a marriage between one man and one woman for life. The family is God's design for the flourishing and benefit of children and of the parents. However, the Holy Family also reveals to us, and God's plan for the family reveals, that God has a wider vision for the family, and that is to bring all people to live as one holy family in his church. It can be said that in the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary and Joseph, God also reveals our true home. Happy Catholic homes are the fruit of our faithfulness to the Lord, and they become heralds of the family of God that he wants to create on earth, and which God wants to bring to fulfillment in heaven with Mary and Joseph. One way in which we glimpse and experience this lasting and spiritual dimension of families is through the experience of the separation that death brings. Those of our families who have gone before us and rest in Christ are not lost to us. We know that. They continue to live, and the bonds of love, the bonds of blood, the bonds of affection that united us here are not severed or broken by death. They do change, however, and move from the physical into the spiritual. We learn to live with the absence of a loved one, and that this can happen is testimony to the spiritual character of the Christian family. If this were not so, our families would disintegrate and cease to exist when all have gone and one is left alone. That the Saviour whom we greet as an infant, and who died to open up the pathway to eternal life for us, has himself gone before us and taken his Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph to be with him. And this raises our hope and sets our sights firmly upon that heavenly place where one day all those who belong to the family of God will be at home. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I give you my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, assist me at my last agony. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, may I breathe forth my soul in peace with you. Amen.